God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. You know, it can happen bit by bit. It's gradual. This is true of things like gaining weight. Right? It just happens bit by bit. No one wakes up 250 pounds heavier than they should be. It doesn't happen that way. It can happen that way with relationships. Very few relationships go from fantastic, functional, respectful relationships to broken, dysfunctional things overnight. It's usually a process. It's erosion. It eats away. Faith. Yes, we can have mountaintop experiences. This is famous at youth camps, that kids go have mountaintop experiences and suddenly they're awash in the Holy Spirit. And they will often say, "I want to be baptized right now." And it's so tempting to say, "Yeah, let's do this right now." It's better, this is what our church practices, to step back and say, "Okay, what are you actually doing in this baptism?" And it's sad sometimes because a week or two goes by and that's, yeah, we should do that maybe one day. Other kids are still there with the Holy Spirit. Now, people who believe that baptism saves will say that we are putting souls at risk. I understand the argument. I don't believe that baptism saves. I believe that truly following the Lord Jesus, accepting him as Lord and Savior, agreeing to be changed by him, abiding with him, that saves. It's not something that can be earned. It is not the process. It is the gift. It's accepting the gift. It also happens this way, that people can become, well, citizens of the world. Happened to me recently. I had a very significant and important talk with a friend of mine over the weekend after a trail run. And in that talk and afterwards, as I processed it, it became clear to me that I had become seduced by the things of this world. Now, it's not anything sexual or an affair or anything like, thank God, no. But it is much more about my love of CrossFit, my love of training. As I sat back and did an assessment of where I'm at, I thought, yep, you know what? There was a time where I was laying in the sun to tan because I'm going to be out in the sun all day at this event called Seal Fits at the end of September. And yep, that's going to happen. And when it happens, I'm not going to want to get sunburned. Started with that. And then I started to look at myself in the mirror a little bit and go, wow, I look better tan. All this work I put into the gym, wow, it shows. And bit by bit, the tanning became a thing where I'm really busy, but man, I need to tan. Well, that's a thing of this world. It's a thing of this world that snuck up on me and pretty quickly, as in within, well, summer. Now, it's not a significant thing, something I can turn around and say, look, you don't need to spend time tanning. God made you a certain color. Be the color. And if you tan, make it because you're outside working. But laying around tanning on a busy day? No, you don't need to do that. So it can happen bit by bit that people are seduced by the things of this world. Seduced by happiness that other people have. That's a happiness I should have. I don't have that happiness. I should go get it. Well, that may be a happiness that they've created over time. And yeah, God does not promise to make us happy. He offers to make us holy through him, through the blood of the Lord Jesus. So it's easy to become seduced by the things of this world. For people who operate, as I do, talking about the things of this world, it's also easy to get it done in a negative sense. Satan loves to hide in the positive. It's a positive thing, I think, to take the temple that the Lord gave us, to treat it well, to exercise. If God gave us a love of hard work, maybe this is a way that we, in fact, feed ourselves, as long as we do it in a way that's not becoming seduced by the ways of this world. But it's easy to become seduced by the ways of this world in terms of negativity and news. It is. Now, it doesn't feel like seduction, Because seduction is warm and it's tingly and it's anticipatory and it's exciting. It's all of those things. It's imaginative. Well, news is none of those things. Except the way our body's wired, and Satan knows this, our body's wired with hormones like dopamine. And getting angry and saying something about it can create a dopamine release. This is the social media phenomenon, particularly Twitter, where you get instant feedback on the things you say. So when a news cycle hits and people get angry, many people end up in a dopamine response. And it's addictive. It's addictive. I can't say I ever became addicted to tanning, which seduced me into a way of this world. In fact, I found it boring. But I became seduced by the result of it. I look better. Who cares? You're 57. Shut up. Look the way you look. In the way of news, it sneaks up on us. One day we might take a look and self-assess and say, you know what? I really watch news too much. One of the magics of AFR, one of them, on this network, Brother Don had a vision, God had a plan, Don Wildman, is that we strive to put God at the center of the work here. So many of the voices are purely godly voices, pastors, leaders. Those of us who talk about news and commentary, to coin the phrase of Paul Harvey, we have a responsibility here in my mind to make sure that we always center things in the Word of God. It's easy to become seduced by the ways of the world. Do you remember at the RNC when they offered a prayer to a foreign god? Nothing recently has upset listeners more than this. At me. People are upset at me for having called this out. It happened when Hamid K. Dillon, who is a patriot and loves this country and is also a Sikh and worships a false god. When I called this out, I think it was the RNC being seduced by the ways of this world. I didn't say they're a church, by the way. I recognize the RNC is not a church. I'm not a Republican. I don't pay any dues to the Republican Party. I used to be on the leadership team. I know too much about it. But this is becoming seduced by the ways of the world when you take a prayer to a false god onto a stage.
Dear Waheguru, our one true God, we thank you for creating America as a unique haven on this earth where all people are free to worship according to their faith. We seek your blessings and guidance for our beloved country. Please bless our people with wisdom as they vote in the upcoming election.
Amen. Except it's to a false god. See, the RNC did that, and they had another false god featured. Well, Muhammad. And they expect God to bless what they're doing. Well, God can use what they're doing. He's used President Trump in mighty ways. I think he's using President Trump in mighty ways again. Just as he's using Kamala Harris, I think towards different effect. For my assessment, I look at Kamala Harris and say, she is the way of the world. She is the way of the Prince of the Air in everything she does. I'm not here to say that I believe that President Trump is a completely godly man. I think he is, at very best, an immature Christian growing into maturity, and I think that almost being killed has probably sped that process along, praise God. So the RNC did that. The DNC did something very similar. They had a prayer to a false god, but this time it was something, well, with a tiny bit of difference. Someone spouting, quote, queer ideology, wearing a kafid, the scarf worn by members of Hamas, at the DNC.
As a Hindu, a Sikh, and an Angelino coming from Tongva lands, I invite you to pray or reflect. In Sikhi, Waheguru is Nirbhau and Nirved, the one without fear and without hatred. If the divine possesses these qualities with making the universe, then we are responsible to achieve equity with those same values. As a Hindu, I'm reminded that divisiveness is a choice because our dharma, our duty, is towards all of humanity and nature. We are working towards righting the wrongs of our past and preventing a future harm, paving a path for restoration we deserve.
Restoration we deserve. That, of course, stands adverse to the offer of free redemption. The free offer of redemption from the Lord Jesus. Of course it does, because it's a false god. Now, the DNC long ago stopped any pretense of actually believing in God. They tried to strike God's name from their platform three times. This was under Barack Hussein Obama. God bless Rush Limbaugh, who used to call him that, just to tweak the media. It worked. Amos C. Brown is the pastor of Kamala Harris's church. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. I just don't think there's any indication in her life of the fruit of the Spirit at all. I mean, she may well have a church. I see no signs of the fruit of the Spirit. I see a woman utterly ruled by the prince of the air, utterly and completely ruled by the prince of the air. A woman who is an ambassador for living here as a citizen of earth rather than a citizen of the Holy Kingdom. Amos C. Brown also spoke.
As we close this convention, we ask that the Creator bestow blessings on Vice President Harris and Governor Walz, and upon the bright future they will bring to the people of America, a future where our nation lives its motto of e pluribus unum, bringing together in civility and dignity the diversity that has built this great nation. E pluribus unum, one nation that embraces us all, every race, creed or color, regardless of sexual orientation, gender or gender expression, rich and poor, old and young.
Truly, of course, the nation is to be a melting pot. Out of many, one, e pluribus unum. And he spoke of affirmation. Amos C. Brown, of course, is a false pastor. We cannot affirm that which is not true. When he says gender expression, of course he means the lie of transgenderism. Of course he means this. Out of many, one. The Democrats are the very best in politics at using intersectional alliances. That is to create a grievance group and to use that grievance group in order to propel their politics. So people can be single issue voters. For instance, I'm simply voting for a right to kill a baby. I'll play with this later this week. Maybe I think it might be today. There was a woman at the DNC who was asked by a conservative reporter, if you had to choose between a Republican form of democracy, I think he said a democracy. If you had to choose between democracy and abortion, what would you choose? She really struggled. Would you choose to live under a dictatorship or have access to abortion? Which one? She had trouble choosing at the Democrat National Committee. Her single issue is something she can control 99% of the time with her own choices. She does not need to have sex prior to marriage. It feels good. So does being tan. So does many things in the world. If she chose to date, she could choose to not be sexually active. If she's not willing to follow that, she could choose any form of contraceptive. Easily enough found. Insurance will cover a lot of it. If it's the pill, well, Planned Parenthood will give it to you for free in most places, or at least a highly, highly discounted version of it, I should say. Highly discounted. I listened to that woman. I watched her say that. And I thought about how the DNC is the most divisive organization that politics has ever seen. Well, since the days of Mao. And of course, Marx. And all those organizations and people, Mao and Marx, shared something else in common. They were firmly, firmly of the ways of this world. They'd been seduced. Check yourselves. Please don't make the mistake I've made. Although, praise God, it was minor. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. If you missed the last segment, spending a lot of time talking about today, being in the world and not of it. I had a wake-up call this past weekend and a talk with a friend of mine who's very, very important to me. And in that discussion and afterwards processing through the discussion, it occurred to me that I have become seduced by the ways of the world. And it's not any, you know, affairs or porn or anything like that, praise God. It was something pretty simple. It was, I have been tanning. I know that sounds really weird, like, oh, why are you actually going to sit here and talk about a tan? I started to tan because I'm going to this event called Seal Fit at the end of September, just around the corner. And I'm going to be involved in exercise for about 50 hours. No sleep, or unless you sleep in the, you happen to fall asleep in the chow line, which they encourage. If you can eat quickly and fall asleep at the table, you might get 10 minutes of sleep in this week. And when I began the tanning process, it was so I didn't get burned. I'm a pretty white, pale dude. So very carefully did this. And then I started to notice, wow, I look better tan. I caught myself looking in the mirror. It's disgusting. Looking at myself in the mirror. That's sick. And it became this discussion over the weekend where it just became clear to me, courtesy of my friend, yeah, you are fully seduced by the ways of the world on this thing. And it's just tanning, but it can lead into so many other ways of being seduced by the ways of this world. It's so vital that we remember that we are visitors here. And let me maybe explain it this way. When I go to Mexico, and I have a business partner down there, so I go down about every, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. When I go down, I enjoy speaking Spanish. I don't speak it well, but when I get down there, after about a week, I'm pretty conversational with people. I feel fairly comfortable. It's small things. I mean, I'm not going to go out and tell anybody my life story. I don't have that level of Spanish, but it gets better every time I go down. I actually like the food a lot. And I enjoy the people, at least where I stay, which is generally the same place every time. So I could get down there and say, this is my home. Well, it's not. I have a house and a family. I have responsibilities at home. That's my home. So it'd be very much like us going to a resort and saying, this is it. This is where I live now. I live in a place where there's pina coladas brought to me. I don't drink alcohol, but maybe you do. I'm not here to judge. It's God's job, not mine. But you can be seduced into that. And sometimes you get this, wow, we're actually leaving this place. You know, after vacation, getting back to, oh my gosh, the busy schedule, what I have to work, etc. So it would be like fooling yourself into, we live in a resort. All the drinks are, it's an all-inclusive resort. And when we are in the news business, as I am, you know, at AFR, we have an audience of one. Thank you to the Wildsmans for stewarding the network this way. We have an audience of one, God Almighty, a family of many. That's all of you who support us, particularly on a monthly basis. You can do that at AFR.net. We get to speak through things that are very disturbing, and we get to do this mindful that we're just visiting here. So, for instance, when I go to Mexico, I went down to Mexico. The last time I was there, there was a local politician who had been caught taking bribes. He had been sentenced to prison, and he suddenly fell ill. And according to the law in Mexico, at least this area of Mexico, Jalisco, this is in Puerto Vallarta, if he's sick, he can't go to jail. He can't go to prison. So he was sick, and he had ensconced himself into a hospital, and it was something like a month. And the doctors were trying to find out what's wrong, and it was some unspecific claim, and it was not, he wasn't sick. Now, if that just happened in the United States, I'd be outraged. If a public official did that, I'd be outraged. Well, I was amused. It's not my country. It's not my country. The Secret Service has placed at least 5 agents on leave. They were involved in the security planning for the rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, where President Trump was almost killed and Corey Carpentier was killed. This is our country, but not our home. So they are on leave. That's federal government speak for on vacation. Leaves are so often paid leaves. So you don't get to go to work, but you do get paid. This is punishment, right? You could see how it would be very, very easy, in my judgment, with a job at one of the federal agencies to become seduced by the ways of the world. After all, there's no accountability. Very few, if ever, very few people are ever held to account. On leave while getting paid is not punishment. I can remember when I was in junior high, I got suspended from school a lot. And I was acting out. You can place it on any number of things. I was very angry at the school system for some pretty justifiable reasons, frankly. But still, I was angry. I was angry at my parents for the divorce. I didn't understand I was angry about that, but I was. I was angry and had no male role model in my house on how to handle that anger. My dad wasn't great at handling anger, but I didn't have any male role model on how to handle male hormones, etc. So for all these reasons, I got suspended a lot from school. And I always laughed when they would send me home. You have to go home. Okay. I live in a latchkey house. My mom is not there. I'm happy to go watch Hogan's Heroes and eat sugared cereal and sleep and do whatever I wish. Okay, fine. Then they finally figured out that there was in-school suspension. Well, that became more of an impetus to change. Washington, D.C. doesn't have that. This is the paper bully, Merrick Garland, and I'm describing behaviors. I respect the office of the Attorney General. I respect the office of the Attorney General. I do not respect Merrick Garland, his behaviors. He's loved by God. He's created by God in God's image. God loves Merrick Garland just as he much loves us, as much as he loves us. But Merrick Garland is of this world. He's also a paper bully, meaning he uses the law to bully people. You want to go protest outside the Supreme Court justices' homes and bring in guillotines and ropes? Fine. That's against federal law, but fine. You want to go pray in an abortion clinic or near one? Well, go ahead and put you in jail, prison for a few years. We're not really going to learn from Merrick Garland's much about the assassination attempt on President Trump.
It was a security failure, and there is both an internal and an external independent investigation of what happened that the Secretary of Transportation has set up, and there's a congressional task force on the same subject, and I know that they will provide lessons learned to prevent such a failure from happening in the future.
That's not needed. It's not. You didn't take the high ground. You didn't take a position of overwatch on the water tower. Sniper 101, take the high point. You didn't. You didn't secure the roof. You chose not to. Wasn't an oversight. Because it's 101. This would be like you getting in your car. This is exactly what this is like. This would be like you, late for a meeting, jumping in your car and sitting there going, "Why isn't it moving? Why isn't the engine on? The engine's not on. What's wrong with this junk, this hunk of trash?" You didn't put the keys in. You did not put the keys in and turn the handle to start the engine. If you've got a fob car, you didn't press the go button. It's just like that. Merrick Garland, of course, will never face accountability. No one who works for him will face accountability. Well, except for this. They also are visitors here. They also are passers through. They don't have any different setup than we do. Those of us who've given ourselves to the Lord Jesus, treat him as Lord and Savior, are going to be changed by him. We can consciously remind ourselves every morning, I'm in a foreign land. I'm a visitor here. Merrick Garland cannot do that. He does not have the Holy Spirit. I am not, well, let me say that again. I don't observe him to have any fruits of the Spirit. Consequently, I don't think he has the Holy Spirit within him. But he's also a visitor here. And there will be accountability. It's already happened. When God says a thing will occur, it already has. I'm not saying for political decisions. I don't think God for 5 seconds is going to come and make people accountable for political decisions. But for lying to an entire nation, for perhaps allowing an attempted murder to occur, which is what I think happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. I think they said, let one get through. President Trump has vowed to let RFK Jr. have access to release documents about who actually killed JFK. That's a pretty phenomenal promise.
And this is a tribute in honor of Bobby. I am announcing tonight that upon my election, I will establish a new independent presidential commission on assassination attempts. And they will be tasked with releasing all of the remaining documents pertaining to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy.
I've read some very convincing work on this. I firmly believe, and be happy to have the conversation with anybody, I firmly believe our CIA was absolutely involved in taking out John F. Kennedy. Absolutely. And there's going to be accountability. It was murder. Lee Harvey Oswald was very visibly a CIA asset. Very visibly. There's going to be accountability. Maybe not here, but it's already occurred with God, unless they all repented or repent. RFK Jr., again, we talked about this Monday, but he spoke about the basic reasons he's left the Democrat Party.
Three great causes drove me to enter this race in the first place, primarily. And these are the principal causes that persuaded me to leave the Democratic Party and run as an independent. And now, to throw my support to President Trump, the causes were free speech, a war in Ukraine, and the war on our children.
Now, he spent his life defending children from an onslaught of medical abuse. As the number of what we're to call vaccines, and some of them probably are vaccines, maybe even the majority of them have some form of protection, maybe. As the number went from 1 to 2 to 20 to 30 to, what, 80? So went the rates of autism. Now, correlation is not causation. It's not. But when you see enough correlative evidence, such as the absence of autism in the Amish community, utter absence. The absence of autism in tribal peoples who've never seen a needle, ever. You can arrive at a pretty shocking conclusion. Correlation is not causation, but look here, where there's not mass injections, there's not mass amount of autism. He has spent his life in pursuit of that. He's also a man who's in favor of killing babies. Very confused. It takes a while to realize you are a creature of the world. RFK Jr., supposedly Catholic, can somehow in his mind say, yes, but that's a woman's choice. There's the trick. Nowhere in the Bible does it refer to life, human life, as a choice. God made the choice. He chose to create. God made the rules. You shall not murder. My creation. So that Bobby Kennedy, RFK Jr. rather, can, on one hand, devote his entire life to protecting kids from the onslaught of this massive number of injections at a very young age. So many of these injections have such poison in them. Oh, it's just a little bit of aluminum. Really? In 80 shots? And to turn around and sponsor abortion as he does, shows to me that he is seduced by the ways of the world. Well, that's a woman's choice. Well, so is the resulting baby, if you want to take it that way. So the choice for babies and mothers against medical intervention, against this onslaught of vaccines since before the age of a year, and to turn around and say, yeah, but abortion's okay. Obviously, a way of the world. When we listen to news and when we regard it, let's treat it like we are in, like I was when I was in Mexico. They took me to this hospital to get this CAT scan. Nothing wrong with me. I was having a stem cell injection in my ankle. This is from ethically gathered stem cells, placentas, umbilical cords, only absolutely no abortion, obviously. So I'm amused standing outside the hospital. Wow, that politician's been here for 6 weeks. I didn't care. I mean, it's wrong for the Mexican people to have to put up with that. And yeah, we're to vote here. We're to be engaged. So let's do that by reminding ourselves, yeah, you know what? This country we're visiting, this planet we're visiting, it's got some problems. Praise God we have a judge and a jury all in one. God Almighty. Three gods in one. One of whom, one personality, knows what it's like to be us. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Extends a little personal observation for you this week. And I'm sorry, you know, the show's been a little personal today. I shared with you my gradually falling into the ways of the world, gradually, as in like 3 months. In, praise God, a minor way. I mean, there's no sin is minor. I don't think that I became a worse sinner by taking occasion to look in the mirror and go, wow, I look better tan, but who cares? Why are you regarding yourself in the flesh? Why are you doing that? We're not to regard anybody in the flesh, most of all yourself. Why would you do that? And this important wake-up call I had yesterday, just this courtesy of this friend that I so, so appreciate. So I do, though, want to share with you, because I had a birthday weekend, and I've mentioned to you trauma families, what that means. Great, great moments this weekend. Reminder of what God can do when we allow him to work in our lives. Just such a blessing to spend some significant time, well, with my family, but important time with my daughter. Not even significant amounts of time because of the way the weekend was structured, but significant moments in time. I'll share that with you. One thing before we get to the Tower of Babbling. The Mockingbird media is 100% unanimous in their support for Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris is running, or it's being run for her, the single most embarrassing, empty, insipid pseudo-campaign for presidents in history. At least the people who ran Joe Biden pretended that he had policy ideas. Now, Kamala Harris has stated some policies, like she has the will to seize patents from companies. She has the will to go seize guns. She is able to go into the future unburdened by the past. Bromades, of course. Broad promises, of course, she's unlikely to carry out. She may try. But her campaign's about joy, because Kamala Harris is a joyful person. That's why she laughs when she's buying Doritos. That's why she laughs when she pretends to like rap music. She's asked, who's your favorite living rapper? And she says, there's so many. Just name one. Tupac Shakur. Well, wait, he's been dead for 25 years. I keep doing that. Right, because you don't like rap. Because you're a liar. But the Mockingbird media being in support of this extends itself into some fantastic watching. So someone in the Harris campaign, someone who runs Kamala Harris, started a rumor that Beyonce was going to be at a Kamala Harris rally. That's clever. Hey, it's a free rally. Beyonce's coming. Now, turns out Beyonce wasn't coming.
In anticipation here and elsewhere that there may be a special guest, I am told by Democrats that Kamala Harris was their guest. They did not want a celebrity at the end of this convention to essentially compete with her. One senior advisor telling me this is a deadly serious election. And if you looked at the end of this program, having a Leon Panetta come on, the former defense secretary, really presenting Vice President Harris as a plausible commander in chief, that is one of the reasons I'm told that there was not a celebrity performance at the end. A fucking anticipation.
So there was not the celebrity performance at the end. Well, why was there the rumor that you guys didn't knock down? You chose not to step in and correct. Hey, no, Beyonce's not coming, because that would have been the honest thing to do. And it's quite evident you are dishonest people. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and many, many others, Mitch McConnell, etc. We thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is, it is a reflection of our moment and our time. And... present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in today's Tower of Babbling. Almost always three. Recently we've had four because there's been such a high amount of babbling. William Jefferson Blythe Clinton III was the nickname I most adored that Rush Limbaugh gave Bill Clinton. He also called him Slick Willie, which he actually stopped doing. When he when Bill Clinton was elected, he, like me, took feedback from the audience and said, hey, at least not while he's president. They met. Did you know that? I'll have to tell that story one day, that Rush Limbaugh and Bill Clinton met and actually talked in a restaurant once. Rush told it so well. So I won't belabor it here. But Bill Clinton, of course, spoke at the DNC. And he said something about Kamala Harris's deep, deep knowledge and focus on policy and leadership and how to lead and bring nations together, her study of world history.
Kamala Harris is the only candidate in this race who has the vision, the experience, the temperament, the will, and yes, the sheer joy. To get something done.
I'm joyful. I'm a joyful laugher mocker. The sheer joy to get it done. Okay. The most insipid and empty presidential campaign in history, befitting a woman who doesn't exist. There actually is no Kamala Harris. There's water or vapor that will take any form it's required to take. When Kamala Harris was advantaged by being tough on crime and laughing joyfully about putting minority parents in prison or jail because their kids were truant to school, she was happy to be fit into that container. When later it was much more useful for Kamala Harris to want to bail out attempted murderers, cop killers, and rioters, well, then she fit herself into that. Just pour me into the container. She doesn't even really exist. So, of course, joy can be her policy. Next soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. A Colorado school is teaching children something about Leonardo da Vinci.
When my son came home and asked me, da Vinci was gender fluid and that the Mona Lisa was a depiction of his feminine side. And I just am trying to figure
context.
out.
Let me give you context of this.
Yes. And
so they watched a movie on Friday.
okay.
class. It's posted on there if you want to watch that. And they were talking about some of the scholars who said that he was probably gay or whatever with that. Now, I don't create this, but these have been approved by Douglas County. These are, you know, videos that we can use.
Now, hey, honestly, because most don't do this, thank you to the school district for actually having the conversation and actually saying you can watch the film. Many school districts don't want the parents to watch the films. B, why? Why do we want to have scholars debating this man's sexuality, which cannot be known? It can't be. We can't ask him or anyone he knew. Last soundbite in today's Tower of Babbling. This guy was at the DNC. He's obviously trolling a reporter, and the reporter does not get the joke because the reporter is of the world.
What brought you out here today? No, listen, my name is Noah Shorts. I use he, they pronouns. Like, I'm just really excited that we have, like, the first black woman that could be the president of the United States. And, you know, like, my wife, right, we're in a polyamorous relationship. The lover that my wife took is African-American. And, like, I've learned so much about the struggle that people of color go through as a result of my wife's boyfriend.
The reporter nods along. Because in that world, that's normal. We are not of this world. You and I, we are in it, but we're not of it. Sometimes when we live in it, we need to talk about the results of living in it. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
You've heard the phrase trauma family, and here's what it means. When a family, usually the kid, goes through, or kids, go through significant trauma, there is a radical change in their behaviors. And so often it becomes very, very scary. Lots of kids, when they go through a traumatic event, as our daughter did, they will retreat into masks and identities and behaviors. And they will lose trust in adult society. Sometimes it's even passive. My parents didn't protect me from this, even though we couldn't. Even though sometimes parents can't. And so it's not even a cognitive blame. It's not a conscious thinking that this is my parents' fault. It's a sense of things. And so kids will undertake to cure their own fears. And parents like us who did not disciple our daughter, we went to church, we prayed, we talked about the Bible, we read from it, she had her child's Bible, we prayed, we did those things, but we did not disciple her. Until recently, we're trying. At least primarily I am, it's my job. And it's, praise God, it's happening. She's believed in Jesus for a long time. She decided to be baptized several years ago, rebaptized. She was baptized when she was born. Now, I happen to be in a faith. I happen to believe in the aspect of Christianity that you're not really baptized unless you consciously do it. That's me. Nor do I think that baptism is the magic saving water. I think it's a significant step we take to die with the Lord Jesus in a non-literal sense, to be raised again. So trauma families often end up askew. This past weekend, I celebrated a birthday, and I was given a surprise. It was a retreat. Now, to be frank with you, my lifestyle and what I do for a living makes it very, very difficult for me to stomach surprises because my life is so structured. It has to be, given the amount of media that I do. I do this radio show, which is a fantastic blessing. And then I do 2.5 hours of podcasting every day. It involves a lot of pre-work, a lot of planning. So number one, I had to say, yes, wow, we're going away. And then think about, oh my gosh, I've got these commitments, so I'm going to have to get up at 3:00 in the morning. Okay. So glad I did it. Our daughter's boyfriend joined us. Yes, they slept in separate rooms. Of course, they're functionally adults, but they are abiding. Praise God, they're abiding. And my daughter did some very significant things. As a trauma kid, she and I had, at one point, the closest of close relationships. And then I've shared with you that she became very, very angry with me for having put her in treatment. She identified me as the parent who did that. She and I've worked through that to a great degree. This weekend, a couple of things. She cooked for me. One of her great, great loves is cooking. And she's, God has blessed her so much at it. The other, she asked me to tell some important stories to her boyfriend about who I am and about how I was raised. The other, she was absolutely thrilled that I took her boyfriend on a workout with me. Second workout for that day, and it was a quick one. But it showed to me she wants her boyfriend to spend time around me because there are some positives. Her positives, as she regards me, are honesty, decency, hard work. My dad would never do that. Predictability. She wants that aspect of me to rub off on her boyfriend and my faith. Praise God for this. Are you going to talk to Johnny about the book you gave him? Yeah. And we talk about it all the time. Now, her boyfriend has given himself to the Lord long ago, but to see that was so important. My daughter told me years ago that she'd stop saying she loves me because she felt forced to say it when she was growing up. And when I said, I love you, she felt compelled to say it as if it was me emotionally hijacking her. So she hasn't been saying it. This weekend she said it. I will never forget it. I'm so grateful for it. I simply said, thank you for making this special. I love you. I love you too, Dad. For a trauma dad to hear that, what a blessing. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us the opportunity to speak again together, may His peace wash over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been The Disciples View.